anglers don't put fish into keep nets. Coarse fish anglers put fish into keep nets just really to kind of show the bag of fish they caught during the day. These are incredibly stressful environments. They're all crowded together, competing for a little bit of oxygen, and we just think, look, be right, actually. You know, give them a break, and everything will be fine, and next week temperatures will be lower, and there'll be fresh water in the rivers. And so from the anglers, we're saying, take it easy on the fish, give them a bit of a break for maybe for the week. And for the farmers, we're saying, if you're still making silage, make sure that that slurry, that effluent is looked after, and any slurry you spread isn't spread before a thunderstorm, because that basically just washes everything back. I live in the west of Ireland. We've had some horrendous thunder over the last couple of days.
Absolutely.
And, you know, instant floods out of nowhere. And that can cause enormous problems when that gets washed into the river.
Indeed. So, and we're going to have thunderstorms today and in the next couple of days as well. And that will wash more stuff off the land. So please be very careful out there. Imagine one bottle of that effluent coming off from silage and stuff, and the damage it can take. Let's preserve the jewels in our crown. Those are our wonderful rivers and watercourses at very low levels at the moment. That's Head of Operations with the Inland Fisheries Ireland, Dr. Greg Ford. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you
good,
very much.
Good talking to you and good morning.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, shortly we'll hear from Pádraig Cribben of the Vintners Federation. What's going out there? We're heading to Oxford University to hear about new research showing that an 8-week gap could be the sweet spot for tackling the Delta variant. Intrigued about that. Back to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District with Councillor Kevin Duffy and reviewing the weekend GAA action and maybe with a little Sewell ahead to next Sunday's senior football final as well. But first, I want to wish a very happy 100th birthday, believe it or not, to Annie Keegan from Derren Turn. It comes from all the boys in the council and also McMurray, who tell us she's very active, a great character, does her own hair, lots of things like that, at 100 years of age. So, to Annie Keegan, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy 100th birthday, Annie Keegan, happy birthday to you. And this piece of music is especially for you. It's Sting and Fields of Gold.
As we walk in fields of gold.
isn't it? I think it fits the day, and it fits the happy 100th birthday to Anne Keegan from Derrin Turn, and for making the boys in the council. What a great, great age you are. And Annie, I hope you have a great day and many more times as well. And that song, Fields of Gold, especially for you. Oh yeah, we were wandering across the fields of gold. Let's see, is that metaphor suitable, I wonder, for the hospitality industry today, particularly indoor dining and all of that. And I know how busy this man is. I've been hearing him since practically dawn this morning. Padraig Cribben, who's Chief Executive of the Vitnes Federation of Ireland. I'm sure you've a million things on your plate, Padraig, other than talking to radio station after radio station after radio station. But it's a significant day after what, nearly 500 days?
Yes, Clem, well, it's always good to talk to KFM. It's a day of relief, but it's a day of relief next to it, I suppose, a lot of anxiety. We've been closed. Many of our members closed down since the 15th of March last. Some may have traded for 14 or 15 days in September, but and others might have been open when they were doing food. Yeah, it's mixed emotions because there's relief, but there's certainly a lot of anxiety. People who, you know, members haven't worked for 16 months, they haven't pulled a pint. There's concerns about all of the guidelines, which, believe it or not, at 10:15 on Monday morning, I still haven't got the regulations. There is anxiety about the fact that we've run into some issues with people, even with the outdoor situation, saying, look, I'm not wearing masks and I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. Small amount of people, I have to say, but enough to cause problems. And we have, obviously, in the last week, 10 days, we've a lot of people online targeting outlets that are open, saying, look, we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll do the other, in the sense that they believe they're being discriminated against. But really, all publicans are doing is doing what they've been told to do, which is to implement the law of the land.
And, Padraig, do your members not have the right of reserving entry to those that they wish to permit, irrespective of these spurious claims of you're discriminating against me? Because we're talking about public health measures here. So where do your members stand in being able to say to somebody, if you're not wearing a mask, you're not coming in here, and if you're not wearing a mask, you're not dining outdoors in my particular sector here?
You can actually say that, but, you know, when you meet the awkward customer who's intent on being awkward, they don't buy into that. And now, they're small in number, but when you're faced with them, it is an anxious situation to be in. They are small in number, but they are certainly awkward. And the fact that you have the right, in their mind, the only people who have any rights are them. And them alone. So from that point of view, it can be an issue. But, you know, to dwell on the positives, it is a day that a lot of our members have been looking forward to. It is but a stepping stone, because bear in mind there are still a lot of restrictions, particularly around capacity, around the use of the bar counter. But we're hoping that over the next number of weeks, as the vaccine rollout continues, that, you know, all of those restrictions will lift and we will get back to doing what we do best, which is basically looking after our customers in a very hospitable way.
Before we talk briefly about the some changes that have happened overnight in regards to how your members will process people coming into their premises, I heard one of a person this morning on one of our news bulletins say that she has lost 19 of her 26 staff and that she just won't be reopening. Is that a particular thing that you're encountering across your industry among your members?
It's a massive problem. For a variety of reasons. I think there are probably three main factors feeding into it. Number one, a lot of staff, particularly chefs in the industry, would have been foreign nationals, and a lot of them have got back to their country of origin, and they are no longer here. That's a big issue. I think it's probably fair to say that during lockdown, a number of people have reassessed what they would call their work-life balance. They don't anymore want to be working when other people are socialising. There also was the issue that, you know, the uncertainty, people were uncertain as to when reopening would happen, so they've gone away to other jobs in retail, in logistics, in driving, etc. And there is the issue, whether we like it or not, that the PUP, as it's currently set out, is a deterrent for some people to come back to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to be. And I'm excuse me, Padraig, I mentioned that earlier this morning. We're speaking about the obligations, of course, on members of the hospitality sector. But, of course, there are obligations on us, the general public, if this is to work at all.
Oh, there has to, it has to be a two-way process. There has to be buy-in from the public as well. And, you know, it's not... There are... I suppose the main restrictions or the main changes you'll see will be at the door where, you know, the contact tracing details have to be taken, number one, but more importantly, there has to be a validation of the vaccination process. And that will take a certain amount of time. But look, as the publican gets used to it, the public will get used to it. And the only thing I would say is bear with our members while they are getting used to this, because it's new to them, it's new to their staff, it's also new to the public. It's a pain. We don't like it. We said from day one we don't like it, but we had a very simple choice. It's either something along these lines, or you don't get open until September, October, when, for many, that will be too late.
And would you be concerned at all, Padraig, that people have lost their business for 500 days, notwithstanding government supports, that and that these regulations effectively are going to be monitored by your members? Are you concerned at all about a blind eye being turned in the interest of, I need the business?
I think the one thing that we saw last year, publicans, you know, by and large, that there are exceptions to every rule, whether it's publicans, whether it's shops, whether it's whatever, but by and large they have done their very best to make the guidelines workable and to put them in place. One of the problems we had when I saw what was coming out on Friday, and I said this to very senior officials in government, I said, look, you have made this so unworkable that people won't even try to work it. And on that basis, they have changed a number of the guidelines, particularly around contact tracing details, and they had a crazy concept that you'd have to number your tables, and that if there was a group of four at table three at 4 o'clock, you'd have to record that. It just, you know, it's the kind of thing that just might work in theory but doesn't work in practice, and was being devised by somebody who was a theorist rather than a practical person. Well, I'm glad to see that that's now gone.
And finally, Padraig, on the question of a public that might be ultra-cautious about going back into such environments, and given the different types of information that can be out there and so forth, what's your message to the public who might be saying, oh yeah, that's great, but I'm going to wait and watch and see what happens?
I think, to be fair, that's an understandable view for some members of the public to have. And I have no doubt there will be members of the public that will have that view, and we would respect absolutely that view. But I think for the vast majority of people who are now vaccinated and who have been, you know, indoors, in their own doors for some time, I listened to somebody yesterday saying that from a mental health point of view, getting out, it's not necessarily about drink or food, it's about socialising, it's about meeting other people, and that is good for mental health as well, and there has to be a balance found in that respect too.
Well, we wish you and your members the very best in terms of recovering your businesses over the next couple of months, and indeed we urge members of the public to conform to any requests and be patient. I think that's the big, big thing. Everybody to exercise patience, because the owners of these premises are between a rock and a hard place. You know, they're only trying to comply with government regulations and protocols. So ultimately, if you just cooperate, it'll make it a lot easier for everybody. We wish you and your members well, Padraig, and thank you so much for your time again.
I know
how busy today is. Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, Padraig Cribben, giving us the latest, and those changes were announced overnight up to And I wonder about the last minute of these bringing in changes like that. Up to now, the publican or whoever would have to take account of everybody who was at the table and stuff like that. Now they only have to take the name and address and details of the lead person at the table. And I suppose if something happens in terms of concern or contact tracing, that person would be able then to provide the rest of the information. Anyway, more to come after the break. Norma Foley's making noises about the return to school. Also, we have a lovely song for you later on. For those of you in particular who've been longing to go abroad, a young man from out the Larry's GA way who gave us a wonderful song last year about COVID, he's penned another one, this time about your passport. We'll bring you that as well. And as I say, heading to Oxford University to hear about research on the Delta variant. That and the GA, and keep your messages coming, please.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, welcome back then. As we heard from the Government of Ireland regarding the COVID situation here, let's join some of our friends in the UK with a report saying a longer gap between first and second doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine makes the body's immune system produce more infection-fighting antibodies. That's according to new research at Oxford University. And to tell me more about it is Professor Susanna Donaghy, who's NIHR Global Research Professor, T-cell immunologist at Oxford University, researching COVID-19, tropical medicine and more. She's the joint chief investigator in this study, which is called PITCH. Good morning, Professor Donaghy, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Now, you're very welcome. Now, I'm intrigued about that, about this longer gap and how that might work, because it's kind of counterintuitive in a sense. You would feel that if I get two quick doses of it, one today and one maybe next week, well, that will double the effect. Your research is showing that the longer gap might be the more effective.
Yes. So, first of all, I'd like to be clear that this is at a population level. So, people who've had the vaccine with a short gap shouldn't worry. What we did was we looked at 503 healthcare workers in England. And as you may know, in England, most people got a longer dosing gap. So, we compared people who got an average of a 3-week gap with people who got an average of a 10-week gap. And we did show that the longer gap, people tended to have more antibodies. And as an immunologist, this has been seen sometimes for other vaccines, that if you space them out a bit, you get a response to the first dose and you have a bit of time for that to settle down. And sometimes spacing it out can help get the best antibody response.
And why does it work that way, Professor Donaghy, that the longer the space?
Well, we're not entirely sure. It can be to do with when you get a vaccine, your cells multiply and then they need time to retract again and form memory cells, and then they need a bit of time to settle down before they get the second stimulation. And it just seems to be that there's a best time to do that. But I'd just like to emphasize that, you know, the Pfizer vaccine that we studied is really, really good at inducing antibodies. So everybody we studied did have good antibodies, whether they'd had it on the 3-week gap or the 10-week gap.
And can you state at this stage, on the basis of that, as you said, you carried it out, I think, with 503 NHS staff who had received their two shots at different intervals in late 2020 and early 2021, when the Alpha COVID variant first identified in Kent was rapidly spreading, we are now, of course, dealing with the Delta variant.
Yes, that's correct. So that changes it a little bit. We know that the vaccine still works well against Delta, probably not quite as well, but it seems to be very good at keeping people out of trouble and largely keeping people out of hospital, for example.
What is it about this Delta variant that makes it so transmissible?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to produce a higher viral load. I'm an immunologist rather than a virologist, so mm-hmm. I do have colleagues who'd be more expert on exactly how it does that. I know people are looking into it, but it might be if you get infected and you've not had the vaccine, you're more likely to produce more virus, which makes you spread it a bit more.
So we're talking about short and long dosing intervals, and we are speaking about the Pfizer vaccine.
Yes.
A three-week schedule generated fewer of the neutralising antibodies that can bind the virus and stop it infecting cells. While antibody levels dipped after the first dose, levels of T cells remained high, and the longer schedule led to fewer T cells overall, but a higher proportion of a specific type of subset called helper T cells. All of that very positive. But as you say, that research is emanating from a small cohort of 503 staff. What now or what next?
Yes, so what we need now is to wait and see what we call the vaccine effectiveness, and Public Health England in due course will bring out data from all of England looking at the impact of dosing interval. And I think that will be really important to see how that does.
Now, I know you're an immunologist, as you said, and not a political commentator, but many of us have looked aghast here at the decisions that are being taken in the United Kingdom.
In
England.
Or Wales.
All right, yep. just in England, thank you. And, you know, many of us have been aghast at that, out of concern for the people there, but also because of the huge travel that goes on between Ireland and England, and then the whole Northern Ireland situation.
Yes.
And that. 30,000 plus, what is it, infections a day, I'm hearing numbers like that. Is really the intent, do you think, of the recent decisions about the so-called herd immunity?
Yes, it's very difficult, and, you know, I'm a doctor looking after patients and doing immunology, so the decisions around policy are bringing in things beyond what I'm an expert in, and they are thinking about the economy and public opinion as well. I think from my point of view, I'm concerned about vulnerable people who are concerned they might not respond to the vaccine, and this group, you know, very much needs prioritising and thought about. Having said that, we are seeing cases going down again in the last 5 days, and we don't know whether this is going to be sustained or not. It could be just going down because the Euros are over and schools have closed, but, you know, as you know, England did another step of opening a week ago, so the next few days are crucial to see which way that's going to go.
Mm-hmm. And in our case here, we're seeing something similar, that while we have had a huge ramp up in terms of cases, the impact on hospitals, finally, Professor Susanna Donaghy, doesn't seem to be as intense as previously.
Yeah, I think the problem is in England, our hospitals are in quite a bad place for various reasons, and they were trying to catch up on waiting lists and so on. The other problem is people having to isolate because of cases, so all of this is making things quite difficult in our hospitals at the moment, even though the COVID cases aren't too high.
Indeed. Now, regarding your own pitch research, will that be presented to the authorities? Will it be taken on board, or is it just a case of this is step one, we'll see what comes next?
Yes, so we've already shared it with the authorities, who are bearing it in mind, and it's under review at a good scientific journal.
Okay, Professor Susanna Donaghy, thank you indeed. NIHR Global Research Professor, T-cell immunologist at Oxford University. Great to talk to you this morning, and thank you for taking the time, and well done on the research.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
And you too. And with a name like Donaghy and that lovely Scottish accent, I remember a great Scotland player, Willie Donaghy, who used to play for Manchester City and Scotland.
I can't claim he's a relative, but I like to think so.
All right, on that happy note, thank you very much indeed, and good morning to you. All right, we'll take a break.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, and Kira tells me there are 29,173 infections in the UK yesterday. Wow, yeah, it's averaging about 30,000. I feel, it's only an opinion, I feel that Johnson has taken a deliberate decision to, look, let's just deal with this, let it go, let's... People, while the weather is good, the summer is there, the schools are closed, let's take a risk. And it seems to be a herd kind of immunisation thing, if I might use that, if they're not a herd infection thing. Let everybody get it, recover, and then we'll all get on again. Another listener called in, by the way, in regards to the recent stuff we've been talking about, and said on Saturday there was an anti-vaccine protest in Dublin City Centre. The listener was at a petrol station here in the county when many of the anti-vax protesters entered, getting refreshments following the protest. They were all without masks. The listener noted that staff told the customers they had to wear masks to enter, but they wouldn't, and continued about their business in the petrol station maskless. It's not fair on staff, especially the younger employees yet to be vaccinated, and that's a very good point. These people are, you know, being completely irresponsible. The fact of the matter is they have a perfect right not to wear masks if they don't want to, but they do not have a perfect right to breach protocols that have been put in place and are there for legal reasons, and that might compromise other people's health. How you reconcile both those extremes, I suppose, is something that we're still struggling with, Kira.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to head back to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Clem, and it's Councillor Kevin Duffy I'm joined with now. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Kira.
Kevin, just to begin, you asked the Council for an update on this year's adaptation grant scheme for the Municipal District. So that's detailing the number of grants submitted, awarded, refused, etc. What did the Council have in response for you?
Yes, Kira, this adaptation grant scheme is there for people, elderly people, people with disabilities, to avail of grants to help with their home improvements, things like, you know, bathroom conversions, things like that, to make their life that bit easier. I did get quite a substantial response, but I wasn't happy with it because the numbers don't stack up. They were talking around 233 applications with, you know, 205 approved and normally a 6 to 8 week period. It's not my own experience, to be honest, with these types of applications. I have, you know, one application in mind that's been with the council for 6 months. And they also talked about 100 applications being rejected, and I was unhappy with the response because I couldn't get the numbers, as I said, to add up where, you know, the difference there would say there should be 30 outstanding, but yet there's 100 refused. So I've asked the council to go back and look at these numbers in a bit more detail so that I can get my head around them, get a better understanding, and so we can communicate to our constituents the time period associated with these, so they're not waiting unnecessarily for funds to support their living conditions.
Now, you also asked the council for an update on the 2021 Shopfront grant scheme for the district as well, and what was the response in terms of that, Kevin?
Positive response there. There's been a number of applications to date and funds being given out to Shopfront grants. This is another great scheme that allows shop owners and businesses to apply to have their shop fronts on our main streets upgraded and improved. So there's a bit of capacity left, there's about 12,000 left there in the grant scheme. So any business that it might be listening that their shop front needs a repaint, a refresh, I'd encourage them to apply to the council to some of this grant funding to help them refresh the main streets of our towns and villages.
Now, you have asked the council to install security fencing around the wastewater pumping station. That's in St. Evans Park in Monastreven. This is to secure the pumping station itself and protect it from any potential damage.
Yes, there is a main pumping station within the estate, and it's, over time has gotten damaged and also is a bit of an area for maybe littering and some antisocial behaviour. Not too bad, but just something the residents are very cautious about. So I did want the council to have a look at this to see how we could just secure it and tidy up that area of St. Evans Park. The residents' association there in the park look after it very, very well, and this is an area that they'd like to see brought in line. Now, the council have asked me, it's actually more of a matter for Irish Water with the devolvement of them services, so it's a matter I'll have to take up with Irish Water to see can we resolve, but we'll progress that one separately.
Okay, well, Fine Gael Councillor Kevin Duffy of Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you indeed, Ciara. And by the way, Kevin, talking about water there, I noticed from Kildare County Council that due to an ESB outage at Broadlea's Tower on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, water supply to Broadlea's Golden Falls and Silver Hills will be affected from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's due to a water outage even at Broadlea's Towers this Wednesday. So Broadlea's, Golden Falls and Silver Hills will be affected from 9:30 until 5 p.m. And by the way, it's not the only one that I've seen in regards to that, because there's also one, I think, for Leakslip that Kildare County Council are talking about as well. And let me see, can I get that for you? Yes, this is a water outage for Oaklawn West in Leakslip, and I think it's also to come this Wednesday. Essential repairs to a leaking fire hydrant will be carried out this Wednesday. Supply to Oaklawn West in Leakslip will be affected from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Okay, so look out for those both on Wednesday between the early hours of the morning and 5 p.m. in the evening. In the Broadlea's area was the first one, and this one in the Oaklawn West area of Leakslip, where there's a leaking fire hydrant. Well, you don't want that to be happening anyway, given water shortages and stuff and everything that comes in relation to that. All right, let's say good morning to Ger McNally. Good morning, Ger. How are you doing? And I need to let that other one go. Ger, are you there? You are.
I am, Clem. Yeah, good morning.
All right, thanks for joining us this morning. Now, Ger, Saturday, what a game between the Dublin Miners and Kildare Miners. And Kildare basically just losing out towards the end. Another case of injury time being the really damaging factor, and maybe other things as well. What did you make of it all?
Yeah, well, it was kind of injury time is where Dublin won the match, but it was probably really earlier in the game that did damage for Kildare, because they were particularly slow to get started inside the opening quarter, and they didn't score at all in the first quarter of the game. I'm trailed by 4 points and no score going in to the first water break. And they did improve after that. Then they got a goal in the 27th minute, a really well worked goal and a well finished goal by Sean Cook over Haynes that got Kildare back on level terms momentarily. Dublin went back ahead by a point, and that's the way it was at the half time break. And after kind of a slow enough start, Kildare got that goal. We felt maybe at the start of the second half they were going to come flying out of the traps, but unfortunately they were a little bit at the, like the hurlers were previously, 7 days previously at the same venue, because they conceded the first 5 points after the half time break. And going into the last 10 minutes, we're well behind, and it looked kind of dead and buried. But all of a sudden, Kildare got a spring, another spurt of life. They scored a goal in 3 points. The goal coming from Elliot Byrne and a point there from Gavin Thompson put Kildare ahead for the first time in the game by a point with just 3 minutes left on the clock. But unfortunately, Dublin were able to withstand that that late Kildare rally, and they came back and scored the last 3 points of the game to win by 2 points and break Kildare hearts.
Yeah, I heard you mention during the commentary with Philly Wolfe, Ger, that but there were some players on that pitch who have big careers, potential careers ahead of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's always the case for minor championships. It's always nice to win those games, and it's always nice to win trophies in particular. And we've had some great memories. We've been fortunate enough to go there over the last 10 years to have a real golden spell in terms of winning trophies. But the main thing, I suppose, is developing players and making sure they come through and for their clubs, I suppose, first of all, and then on the inter-county scene. And definitely the players there who we'll be hearing about in the future, particularly, I suppose, Gavin Thompson was the one who looked a real standout player. He scored some terrific points. He worked very hard back in the forward role, but also I thought Daniel Lenihan was excellent for Kildare to send a half-back position. Cameron Nairn did very well when he came in as a substitute. So despite the disappointment of the defeat, definitely, you know, we will be hearing more about these guys in the future. It's just a matter of keeping them together, I suppose, and keeping them developing as best they can.
All right, let's hear what manager Cyril Kevlahan told you and others, I'm sure, after the match.
Cyril, it was a game kind of were maybe second best for parts of it, but you really came on strong in the end, got your noses in front, and at that stage maybe looked like you were the side of momentum on your side, but they were just able to kind of wrestle it back in the last couple of minutes.
I mean, fair dues to the Dubs, I mean, and fair dues to our own lads. I mean, we were playing second fiddle there. I thought defensively we did very, very well, but we just weren't creating scoring opportunities, and I suppose mistakes came into our play that we didn't know. But that's the pressure of at this level, you know. You know, credit, came back and got into the game, and maybe there was a glimmer of hope there for a while. But I mean, fair dues to Dublin. They finished us off then over the last few phases of play, you know.
We always knew there was goals to this side. They've shown that before. The two goals kept you in the game, but looking back, is it disappointing maybe you didn't kickstart the second half a bit better after getting that late goal in the first half?
Yeah. Look, we took a long time to really get flow into our play. You know, it was disjointed and we were flowing, and then just the occasion, I think, got the lads, and we spilled the ball.
A lot of kind of face mistakes, and
that happens. Listen, that happens, you know, and I wouldn't fault the lads because, I mean, it's been a difficult year for them, and it was a good competitive game there today in very hot conditions. I think both teams were flat out there towards the end, you know, and even the mentors on the line were flat out.
And what's next now for this group? Obviously, like, some of them
I mean that's back to county board, hopefully. You know, I mean, they're a very competitive group, you know, and to be, you know, 2 or 3 points away from Dublin any time is, you know, it's good standard in the county. So it's a challenge now to keep those lads together. I suppose the under 20 grade is still a jump. It's like they need to be minded and kept in the game and you know, development work continued. You know,
that seems to be something that differs between Kildare and Dublin. I think Dublin tend to keep that group together and keep them training as a county.
You're right. But I suppose that's about resources and finance. If you have the resources, you know, that's the objective and that's what you would like to do, but it's not always possible. So, I mean, they're bitterly disappointed, as you would expect. But that's all part of the learning process too, isn't it?
Was another chapter for yourself in the Kildare and Dublin. How's it decided to be on the Kildare side?
Well, I went in there to the lads and said, this is funny. This doesn't feel right. Well, anyway, listen. I suppose I commuted for 15, 16 years in Newbridge, so I was involved with the Dubs up to 2014. And that was all after, 17, 18 years involvement with development and with Stephen there. So it was sort of strange being on the other side, but listen, you know, you get involved in the community and, you know, you give people asking, you like to give back and get them. It's part of the personal, of the GAA, I suppose, really, you know. But of course you like to win, don't you?
Of course you like to win. And he spoke about, you know, keeping those young players on board and developing as they go through. But it's also nice and important, I think, to keep the expertise chair of the likes of Cyril Cavlahan on board, outlining there his experience in terms of developing Dublin football. And now, very nice to hear him say, I want to give back to the community here in Kildare.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great that Kildare had the opportunity to tap into somebody of that knowledge and experience. And we've seen it as well on the hurling ranks with people coming in from outside counties and being able to help Kildare at underage level. So, absolutely. I mean, that's what you want to see. Kildare is a huge kind of import from around the counties around the country, and if Kildare can tap into any sort of knowledge and experience like that, that can only be a good thing, because, I mean, Cyril Cavlahan has a huge amount of experience. He was manager of Dublin Miners when they beat Kildare after a replay back in 2009. He was manager again in 2013 as a Dublin Miners again, so and he did a couple of other stints too, so he is somebody with a huge amount of knowledge, and that can only be a good thing for Kildare to have somebody like that on board.
Alright, sure. Didn't we give the Dubs All-Ireland winning teams of the last couple of years? Colonel John Courtney has been a member of the backroom team, so it's only right that they give us something back in relation to that, you know. Chair, just a brief word, looking ahead to the big one next Sunday and the Leinster Senior Football Final. We'll have full commentary, of course, with Hand and Concrete Products of Robertstown. Peter, Johnny and Chair will be in situ in Croke Park again. Any news on the injury front or how things are going?
Is there a game? The Sunday game seems to have last night seems to suggest there's no match at all next week.
Well, Sean Kavanagh made the remark, and I saw Tommy tweeting about it, that Mayo would handle Dublin or something to that. And given that the winners of the match next Sunday play Mayo, it certainly didn't give much hope to Kildare.
Yeah, no, here was me thinking that that the result over Connacht had worked well for Kildare, because we wouldn't have to worry about the Galway Hoodoo if we got the final.
Right.
Of course, Kildare are massive underdogs, absolutely, and the injury situation doesn't help. Kevin Feely absolutely certainly won't be playing. He, I think, has a cracked complex fibula, I think it is, was the diagnosis he's looking at 3 to 4 months out, so he's certainly definitely won't be involved. Paul Cribben, obviously not. Owen Doyle has a serious hamstring injury that he's been carrying for a long time through this year, and anybody else would probably be already written out, but Owen Doyle being Owen Doyle, yeah, you wouldn't be surprised to see him strapped up maybe and play some sort of part in the game, but it'll be very a long shot at this stage to see him involved as well. And they're three absolutely key players for Kildare, so that makes things a little bit extra difficult. But the young players that have stood up so far for Kildare have done the team proud, so it could be an opportunity for some more guys to make their names for themselves next week. But yeah, hopefully Kildare can make a good showing for themselves.
All right, Chair, and well done you and Philly on Saturday, and indeed yourself, Johnny, and Peter so far on the championship. What a busy time it's turning out to be. And congratulations to Maynooth winning the intermediate hurling title yesterday, beating Naas. And commiserations to Kyle Dove, I suppose I should be saying, well done to Leixlip, who won that relegation battle and stay senior for this season. Kyle Dove dropping down to intermediate hurling, which will be strange surroundings indeed.
Not quite, sorry, Clem, not quite, sorry. Just as soon as I just jump in there, because Maynooth won the intermediate championship, so it loses the playoff between Maynooth and Kyle Dove to see who gets the promotion or relegation, which probably isn't ideal, because if Maynooth won that intermediate, that they probably are more than justified to get promotion, but there will be a playoff, I believe.
Oh, is there? All right, OK. I was relying on what I saw on Twitter yesterday. It just shows we shouldn't trust it.
Yeah. Never believe everything you read on the internet.
All right, Chair, we'll let you back to your duties as overall sports editor with the Carlow Nationals. Thank you indeed for your work on the programme. Now, I want to bring you a little song. As we said, we'd head out to St. Larry's Way, and Joseph Gorman is a very talented young singer. Here he is with the song, I suppose, a kind of an ironic commentary on the whole passport situation.
Come here and let me tell you of a time I used to know. You could walk into a nightclub, you could go and see a show, and never would you worry about breathing in the air, the hygiene of your fingers or the other people there. The one thing that I missed the most, the Irish did it well, was sit inside a quiet pub, the stories they would tell, sipping pints and singing songs, we'd laugh the night away. The door was locked and so were we, till came the light of day. So can I see your passport and are your papers right? God be with the days of the plain old quiet pint. Let me scan your barcode and do you feel alright? God be with the days of the plain old quiet pint. I often stay awake at night and think about the beer. Snug as a rug inside the snug, but I sure don't miss the fear. For it breaks my heart, it's torn apart and gone for over a year. Did you get your vaccine, put on protective gear? Can I see your passport and are your papers right? God be with the days of the plain old quiet pint. Let me scan your barcode and do you feel alright? God be with the days of the plain old quiet pint. We talked about the future, we mentioned flying cars. Little did we think it would be vaccine-only bars. What about the owl lads who sat up on the stools? Do we leave them in the history books or make them look like fools? For they were building cities and working for their pay, not sitting on the laptop sending Zoom links day by day. So what's the country come to and are we gone insane? Will you live off all the hassle there and pull a pint of plain? And can I see your passport and are your papers right? God be with the days of the plain all quiet pint. Let me scan your barcode and do you feel alright? God be with the days of the plain all quiet pint. By the time they let you in the door and give you the all clear, they space you out in sections and they leave the bar top clear. The windows are all open, the doors are left ajar. The wind would go right through you in a modern Irish bar. So can I see your passport and are your papers right? God be with the days of the plain all quiet pint. Let me scan your barcode and do you feel all right? God be with the days of the plain all quiet pint. Can I see your passport and do you feel all right? God be with the days of the plain old quiet part.
Hi, absolutely a cracker. What a great singer. Great writer, obviously, because he penned that particular one. And I can't think of anything better that sums up the whole of what has happened to us in the last 18 months than that song from 22-year-old Joseph Gorman, out from around St. Larry's GAA country there exactly. And remember, we also had a great number from him last year as well. That one called Can I See Your Passport? And I think you'll hear that again on KFM and I'm sure many other places also.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, thank you. Just see, my WhatsApp must have been off for the morning. I was wondering, was there anybody out there at all? Because I've just got a burst of messages in. Clem, huge congratulations to Sarsfield's junior hurlers beating Maynooth in a great game, winning the last puck of the ball in the county final. That was a rollover from 2020. And that's from Peggy O'Dwyer, who's the son, I think, was team hubby Liam, are part of the manager's setup. Whose son, hubby Liam, apart. I'm talking about what that means anyway. Peggy, well done indeed to the Sash. Great to see Hurling doing well in the Sash. And Moorfield too. Can you wish Bridie Downs from McGainey a happy 70th birthday today? Indeed we can. Clem, I thought we were in the middle of a pandemic. I see the top man in the World Health Organization flies out of Japan to the Olympic ceremony while this man wags his finger at the rest of us. A bit of do as I say, not do as I do, says Breda. Don't know about that, Breda. Please wish my aunt Maureen Cross a very happy birthday for today from all in the courthouse. What are you doing in the courthouse? Oh, look at all these messages coming in. Hi Clem, I was in the premises on Saturday. It has a marquee. Well, and ventilated, people were smoking. I don't know about that particular one, says the listener. Clem, if Jack O'Connor or the Kildare team as a whole need any better motivation, all they need to do is look and listen to Sean Kavanagh last night on the Sunday game, talking about giving Kildare no chance against Dublin. Total disrespect to the Kildare team. What do you think of the Munster football final? I didn't. Terrible. Terrible. Cork beaten by nearly 30 points in regards to that. Just a waste of time. I think the provincial championships should be abolished and we should go with a different sort of system. And Mick says, I would like to point out this in regards to our own dial situation with Kildare. If they have to play with an entry, I don't know what that is. I'll have to come back to it again. The same on Sunday, KFM, forget about the dubs, will be too strong for Kildare. By the way, that's a brilliant song. At Joseph Gorman Music, if you want to find out more from him. And finally, Liam. Oh yeah, the son Connor is full back. And Liam, the hubby, is one of the managers. Tipperary blood getting through, says Peggy O'Dwyer. Well done, all the Sarsfields. John Dunn is up next with 11 to 2. Thanks, producer Kira Noble. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning from 9. Kira.